Okay, this is an extraordinary tune. It really is. It comes on that rare thing, very expensive vellum. Beautifully headed, expensive-looking paper. It was hand-delivered by a guy in a uniform about half an hour ago. And, Seb, I think we'll change the names on this. It's only fair. We'll call this fellow who wrote the our tune Bob. And it covers, really, a great deal of his life. But by inference, the main events have taken place over the last few weeks. And as Bob says in his our tune, the last few weeks really have been turbulent. Let's start from the beginning. And let's sketch in a bit of the background that Bob lives in. Because at work he had a nice big chair behind a nice big desk, and he always felt very important. I think that's important to him, that he feels, you know, fully flushed and ready for the day. When he was alone in his office and the door was closed, he used to practice his big boy talk. "Hey, fella, get over here! Buy low, sell high, fix price!" That sort of thing. Did it in the mirror so that no one could know what he was doing, and then when they came in, he'd bark at them. He even had his name engraved on a big brass plaque on his desk. All very pleasant, and the average workday was pretty pleasant too. He'd arrive at 9, he'd wave at the receptionist, forget her name, and then head into the office and look busy at his desk. Now, this involved him sort of crouching over his desk, playing solitaire, sometimes on Facebook, but no one could see that's what he was doing. And then he'd practice a pensive look out of the window at the pigeons on the adjoining roof. And he remembers that very often other people from the bank used to come upstairs and peer in while he was staring pensively and think, "Gosh, he's intelligent. He's coming up with so many bright ideas." And he was just looking at the pigeons. Then lunch. Lunch was his favourite time of the day. He'd meet colleagues over a glass or two of Bollinger, and they'd draw up a few interesting arrangements. He was very popular on TV at the time. He remembers, Bob says, remembers saying things like, "It wasn't me," and waiting for the reaction. And sometimes he did notice that the interviewer would go red in the face, but he thought, that's because they haven't got an answer. They haven't got a follow-up question. And then there was his big line, "The time for remorse and apology should end." That was his catchphrase. Oh, Gideon and Oliver and Charlie used to laugh when he got back. They used to say, "That's terrific. That really punches the weight. This time for remorse and apology should end." So what if they told a few porkies? As Bob says, you know, everybody does it. And they just thought of themselves as the cast of Wall Street, playing games. You know, they could make some pocket money for the bank. If they could do that, who cares? How wrong could it be? But it seems, and I think Bob's a bit bitter about this, it seems that people got very...